morning, my friends, and welcome to another incredible installment from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Wednesday. I've finally got my batteries recharged from last weekend at the Wyoming GOP convention that was down in the middle swamp. Every time I'm down in that place, I feel a bit like Michael Corleone on The Godfather. You know, I try to get out, and then they pull me back in. At least this time, I was surrounded mostly by Republicans and mostly by people who are relatively conservative. As you all know, before I went to the convention, I made a little trip down to Jackson. Well, of course, any trip from the Cowboy State Politics Studios to Jackson is not little, but I was only there for a short period of time, so I guess you could say it's a semi-little trip. Just to remind you, I was there for that super-secret squirrel meeting that Lynn Fries held for the Wyoming Caucus and the Freedom Caucus. I told you about that earlier last week. That was on Monday. And then, the following Tuesday, the Teton County GOP held a, shall we say, forum for a couple of legislators in coordination with another kind of shady group in Teton County. And just like all of these Marxist groups, this one has a flowery-sounding name to it. Now, remember what I always tell you, that if the name sounds good, they're doing exactly the opposite of what they claim. This outfit is called Shelter Jackson Hole, and I cannot wait to tell you about these people. Bottom line, they're a bunch of Marxists and socialists. Yeah, I know, hard to believe that those people exist in Wyoming, but if there were any place for Marxists to operate out in the open, it would be in Teton County. I mean, come on, there are some big-name socialists that live there. Bill Gates and B. Wayne Hughes, just to name a couple of them. Before we get too far into these folks, I want to preface everything by saying that there are a whole bunch of conservatives that live in Teton County. Now, as you might guess, they're a little bit outnumbered, but there are a number of really conservative people that live there, one of whom supplied the audio that I'm going to play for you during this morning's episode. But I want to also mention that my trip to Jackson and coverage of the GOP convention was made possible by a very conservative fan of the program in Jackson. I very much appreciate his support of Cowboy State Politics, even though he wants to remain sort of anonymous. I just want him to know that I'm very, very thankful. And actually, while I'm thinking about it, there are a number of people in Jackson that support this program, and I don't want to leave them out. But again, apparently, being a conservative in Jackson sometimes is a little bit unpopular. So, thank you to those people who support the program and wish to remain anonymous. One other item of note before we get to today's program. It's actually kind of a big day here at Cowboy State Politics. Today, I get to start installing cameras in the studio. That's right, my friends, you heard that correctly. I'm finally giving in to all of those fans of the program that wanted some sort of live streaming of Cowboy State Politics. So the way that we're going to do that is install cameras in the studio so that you can see what's happening here at Cowboy State Politics Central Command while I'm doing the live program that's broadcast on the Independence Network. Initially, it's going to be broadcast right to the Cowboy State Politics website. So, every morning that I'm doing the live program, you'll see a broadcast on cowboystatepolitics.com. I'm thinking that I'll probably start the live stream on Friday, but, you know, I mean, there's always bumps in the road when you're dealing with technology, so we'll shoot for Friday. If not, we'll do it next week. So that's super exciting. Another exciting thing is a group that's been operating in Jackson for quite some time. It's called Shelter Jackson Hole, and it is, without a doubt, a Marxist organization. Advertised as Marxist, funded by Marxists, and acts like a Marxist. If it walks like a duck, smells like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's a Marxist. Before I tell you all about these people, we have to first talk about who they co-sponsored this legislative forum with last Tuesday. It was co-sponsored by the Teton County GOP. In fact, the Teton County Republicans paid for lunch to the tune of $500 for tacos. The Teton County GOP is clearly listed on the advertisement that was put out by Shelter Jackson Hole for this whole property tax roundup, as they called it. First question, why are the Teton County Republicans partnering with a Marxist organization? Secondly, at this legislative forum, why was there only the liberal position presented? Now, you might say that the only legislators from Teton County are liberal, and that would be true. There's Representative Andrew Byron. Byron represents both parts of Lincoln County and parts of Teton County. According to WyoVote, he is the 55th most conservative legislator in the House of Representatives. He's only one place above Democrat Trey Sherwood. According to Evidence-Based Wyoming, Representative Andrew Byron votes with the Democrats 90% of the time. That was during the 2023 legislative session. Evidence-Based Wyoming hasn't finished their analysis of the 2024 session yet. To put this in perspective for you, Andrew Byron is only two places above Teton County Democrat Mike Yin. You've heard me often refer to Mike Yin as the Democrats' Democrat. I actually like Mike Yin. At least he's honest about who he is, unlike Andrew Byron. And to give you a little bit more context to this whole discussion, there are only two members of the Republican Party that are less conservative than Andrew Byron, and that's Bill Henderson.
Whoa, I think you got to stop and take a look at what you're doing here. I speak against this because it kind of reminds me of that fairy tale, Cinderella.
Yeah, and it definitely is a fairy tale that Andrew Byron is a Republican. The only other Republican who is less conservative than Andrew Byron is Laramie County Representative, and we're not even sure that he even lives in Laramie County. Most of the time he spends his time in Lander, or so says his wife. But anyway, the other Republican who is less conservative than Andrew Byron is Bob Nicholas. Here's an old classic from Bob Nicholas himself.
There is no doubt, I mean, from all the medical information out there, that we are in a pandemic of the unvaccinated. If everyone was vaccinated, this pandemic would be gone.
And let's not forget what Andrew Byron did way before his first primary when he was initially running for office. See, he signed the Republican Party platform telling Lincoln County Republicans that he was going to vote alongside their platform. And then right before the primary, Andrew Byron reneged on that whole thing. And by the way, Andrew, don't even try to get out of that. Very credible sources inside the Lincoln County Republican Party told me that that's exactly what happened. So, that's one of the participants in this whole tax rebate roundup thing that was put on by the Marxist organization called Shelter Jackson Hole. The other two participants in this whole forum that was put on by Shelter Jackson Hole were Democrats Liz Storr and Mike Yin. So that pretty much makes up the entire legislative contingent, except for the Senate, from Teton County. So you might say that you included all of the representatives from Teton County, so it should be game on. The problem is you are in Teton County, and if the Teton County GOP held to their so-called conservative values, then they would have invited opposition to speak against a lot of the tax proposals that Andrew Byron, Liz Storr, and Mike Yin were talking about. One of which was giving property tax relief to renters. You heard that correctly, my friends. All three of those legislators discussed that topic at length. Now, in their defense, they did say that they don't think that that would fly in the legislature. But none of them actually said that renters don't own property and thus don't pay property taxes. Or perhaps that might be a redistribution of wealth scheme cooked up by the Marxists that run Shelter Jackson Hole. And then there's the larger point, that if you can't afford to live in Jackson Hole, you shouldn't be able to depend on the government to make sure that you can. Generally speaking, when you can't afford the digs in the town that you're in, it might be a good idea to move elsewhere instead of soaking up tax dollars to pay for your extravagant lifestyle. But not according to the representation in the legislature from Teton County. Among the topics discussed at this idiotic town hall was the idea that renters need to get some form of property tax relief. After all, living in Jackson is really, really expensive. Here is Republican representative from Teton County, Andrew Byron, saying that, well, giving renters property tax relief is a really big idea. Get a load of this.
I echo Mr. Storer, Mike, you'll have to please stand up. You know, there was, I believe, House Bill 146. It's probably not going to be on any literature you have. Representative Henderson from Cheyenne brought it, and it basically did it, our property tax refund program. It almost copied it for renters. Now, the fiscal note on that was about $12 million a year. I think this was a very good step, much like Representative Hirschman, a very good step in the right direction, but it came in late. It got filed late. That's why there's a lot later number. And it was a big concept, right? We don't have a data point on statewide. Like, we're all talking about statewide, but statewide, what that would have looked like. So ultimately, I think that's a great topic to come to an interim committee. But you open that. And I, like Liz, and I hope any property owner here, I believe that if you do offer, and if something like 54 would have passed, and carrying costs don't increase on some of these investment properties that people are in, that and or I believe in people, so I hope they do pass that along. Now, obviously, I don't think there's a legislative way to require that. I think that's a big step in the wrong direction, but I do think that, you know, Representative Storer and I have briefly talked about it. This is a topic that we'll continue to talk about in the Revenue Committee and amongst each other, especially where areas this is affected, and I think it's something we have to keep exploring, but I don't think there'd be a political way or will to mandate it. I don't think it would be constitutional at all, and I think you'd have to look at policy.
Byron says that the whole idea is probably unconstitutional, but they're going to study it in the interim anyway. And secondly, voting for something that's unconstitutional has never stopped Andrew Byron before. I'll tell you more about how it is to hang out with socialists in a minute. But first, somebody's got to pay for this whole adventure. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or maybe something bigger like a roping arena or a gigantic warehouse for your business, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. They are the experts in what they do, and they've been doing it longer than anybody else around. One cool thing that you'll receive is a 50-year warranty on the foundation. That's something that you're not going to get from any of their competitors. They pour concrete pillars and then insert a steel beam inside them and then pour the foundation on top. That way, there is no possibility of water getting underneath your building and ruining the foundation. So it doesn't matter what type of building you've got in mind, give Nick and Jesse a call. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Gunrunner Auctions is one of the nation's leading online firearms auction houses, and they're celebrating their 25th year. Scott Weber, the owner, specializes in estate firearms. The first thing he does is travels to the estate and appraises the firearms for the heirs. He then takes them to his Cody auction facility where he and his team research them, sometimes getting factory letters from the Cody Museum about each firearm's history. Every month, beginning on the 7th, Scott and his team post 500 fine firearms for sale. Winchesters, Colts, rare military weapons, and usually a wide range of hard-to-find ammunition. Scott has sold the personal collections of Elvis Presley, Steve McQueen, Alex McCord, and Herb Parsons, just to name a few. With their 40,000 bidders in all 50 states, Scott is the expert in selling your precious firearms. All of the auctions start at $20, and there's absolutely no reserve. So if you've been thinking about a new firearm, or if you don't even know that you're thinking about a new firearm, go to GunrunnerAuctions.com. And since this episode is about affordable, so-called affordable housing in Jackson, if you're one of those people that's decided to get the heck out of California and move to Jackson, you need a real estate agent that you can trust. That agent's name is Rebecca Bextell. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. Now, if you live in Jackson and you've decided to sell out and actually move to Wyoming, well, you should give Rebecca a call on that one too. Again, her phone number is 307-699-3519. The following advertisement was paid for by Reed Reisner for Senate.
I'm Reed Reisner, and I'm running for United States Senate because our politicians have forgotten what's important. They spend billions protecting borders in Europe and do nothing about our border. You deserve better. Wyoming deserves better. That's why I'm running, to serve you. Join me, and let's send new blood and a strong backbone to D.C. before it's too late. Go to ReedReisner.com to learn more and join the fight.
And now, back to hanging out with Marxists in Jackson, Wyoming. The reason why House Bill 45 is most definitely unconstitutional is the Wyoming Constitution mandates that taxes have to be relatively the same across all property classes. In other words, there can't be any more than, I think it's 4% difference between industrial properties and residential and commercial properties. And the reason why residential and commercial are together is in the Wyoming Constitution, those two things have to be taxed equally. House Bill 45 that they just passed would eliminate that. It would mean that your house is taxed at a different rate than is all other property. And I'm not the only one that thinks it's absolutely unconstitutional. Here's what Liz Storr says about it.
The cap, I would argue it's not constitutional, but it was also the only way we could actually tamp down these double-digit increases. At least as we continue to experience those, especially in the northwest part of the state. So despite a lot of not support of the cap, I will say that I voted for it. I felt like it was really important for our constituents. It is meant to be short term as well, and we'll talk about why that is in a little bit, but that's the idea. And we designed it so that it could be.
It's not constitutional, but we just had to do it. That was the only way that we could fix this property tax problem. One of the larger problems with this whole property tax forum is that it was only the liberal perspective that was presented. And keep in mind, this thing was sponsored by the Teton County GOP. There were conservatives that were in attendance, but you notice that none of them were allowed to speak. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to make this entire recording available at cowboystatepolitics.com so that you can listen to the whole thing yourself. I'm not exactly sure why you want to do that. I did the work for you, and I'm surprised I have any windows left in the studio at all. But there again, you should always do your own homework and know these things to be true for yourself. While we're at it, here's what Representative Liz Storr had to say in response to the whole question of, could renters get some property tax relief too? Listen to this babble.
Do you still need it?
Great. So we have some renters whose rent has been raised by landlords who are accommodating rising property taxes. So just wondering what the potential is for property tax relief, either trickling down to renters or renters being able to have their property tax relief.
Chair, may I
ask
that 54 would have applied to everyone, would have given an exemption to everyone, second homeowners, investment owners, in which case, you know, those investments, those owners could have given a break to their renters. It didn't pass, so that's not going to happen. We know that when people do have a break, it can trickle down, but it takes a long time, right? So the question has been, and Representative Yen might be the best person to talk about this too, you know, is there a way that we could design a
a renter's refund. You know, we looked at trying to include that in the refund program. I like that idea, but politically, it's probably not the easiest thing to get across the finish line there. I'm going to spend a little bit of time this summer doing some more research on what other programs might work for renters that might be politically possible in the state.
Uh-huh. Classic redistribution of wealth. Taking money from people who earned it and giving it to people who didn't earn it. While this concept really is kind of shocking, it shouldn't be all that surprising, given the people that put on this forum. Well, the co-sponsors with the Teton County GOP, an outfit called Shelter Jackson Hole. Only in Jackson, Wyoming, would a socialist Marxist organization operate out in the public. And it doesn't take that much effort to prove it. All you have to do is go look at their Facebook page. Anytime this organization announces a meeting, the flyer for it includes the socialist fist. The clenched fist held up in the air, that's usually a pretty good indication of who's behind that particular group. And a little history note for you, the first time we see that fist out in public was during the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. Interesting that a group that is allegedly interested in affordable housing would use socialist propaganda to further their cause. But nonetheless, they have, and it's all over their Facebook page. And while we're on the topic, let me ask the question one more time. Why is the Teton County GOP associating with such a group? And they didn't just help organize this whole thing. They helped pay for it. The Teton County Republican Party paid $500 for tacos at the event. I don't know about you, but I could think of several other things that are more tasty than tacos that I could buy with $500. But anyway, there's a lot more stuff on their Facebook page that would lead one to believe that they might be a little bit socialist. But again, I suppose being a socialist is a bit like being pregnant. You can't be kind of pregnant. You either are or you aren't. Similarly, you can't be kind of a socialist. Here's something on their Facebook page that might be just a wee bit Bolshevik. It's a graphic that says, Shelter Jackson Hole's stance. This is a step in the right direction. These updates will, 1, allow the planning department to track and regulate the number of short-term rentals outside the lodging overlay, which has been mostly off the books. Now, first of all, if you buy a piece of property, you own it, and you decide what you want to do with it. Not a regulatory body like the county of Teton County or the city of Jackson Hole. It's yours to do with as you please. Number 2, allow homeowners to legally do a few short-term rentals every year, which can help locals pay their mortgage or offset increased property taxes without turning residential neighborhoods into resort areas. And number 3, prevent absentee landowners from buying homes in residential parts of our town to mostly rent out as short-term rentals while only visiting a few times a year. So in other words, we're going to prevent you from buying a piece of property and doing with it as you please. Sounds a little bit socialistic to me, but wait, there's more. Here's another one that might lead us to believe that their closet is completely full of red clothing. And I quote, vote yes on community housing measure number 12. And here it is, $20 million to preserve and create permanent, affordable, and workforce homes for local workers and their family. This may be accomplished through the purchase of deed restrictions and other interests in land on which to design, plan, develop, engineer, construct deed-restricted housing in conformance with the Jackson and Teton County Housing Supply Plan. The Jackson Town Council and the Teton County Board of Commissioners must authorize the direct expenditure of these funds. So in other words, we're going to spend $20 million of taxpayer money to tell property owners what they can and can't do with their private property. And then there's Shelter Jackson Hole's effort to do away with the historic Teton County Fairgrounds and instead put up quote-unquote affordable housing. By the way, anytime you hear the phrase affordable housing, you really should think subsidized housing or using your taxpayer dollars to pay people to live in one of the most expensive places of the country when they can't even afford it. to quote from their Facebook page that relocating the fairgrounds means a win for Western Heritage, a permanent larger state-of-the-art facility for 4-H and community programming. Except, of course, that we already have a place for all of that. It's a win for locals. Town-owned land available and appropriately located for dense housing near jobs and transportation. In other words, they want to create a bunch of rabbit huts. And then, number three, this whole thing, relocating the historic Teton County Fairgrounds, is a win for the community. An enhanced fairgrounds. Think a live music venue, a dog park, a rodeo, and locals staying locals, end quote. Except, of course, that we already have a place where you can have a rodeo, a music venue, and it could be used by the community. But, of course, Shelter Jackson Hole doesn't want that, nor do they care about it. Instead, their main push is to create, quote-unquote, dense, affordable housing. And don't think that this group has just cropped up overnight. Again, if you look at their Facebook page, they have advertisements, including the Socialist Fist, that date back as early as 2022. Remember what I always say. Show me who your friends are, and I'll show you who you are. And the friends that Shelter Jackson Hole has, well, they're very interesting as well. Yet another post on their Facebook page says, "Great news! We were awarded another grant this month through the Unitarian Universalists Fund for a Just Society." I can't think of another thing that smacks of capitalism more than that. Well, except that it doesn't have anything to do with capitalism. Indeed, according to Influence Watch, the Unitarian Universalist Association is an organization of congregations descended from earlier liberal Christian congregations characterized by their liberal attitude towards religious teachings and a belief in promoting left-of-center values and societal causes. Unitarian Universalists emphasize the diverse sources of their teachings, which include world religions, secular philosophy, and say that they have no shared creed, but rather a shared covenant that allows their members to believe more than one thing. The UUA engages in a wide range of left-of-center political activism, which it justifies on the basis of the Unitarian Universalist Church's philosophy of deeds, not creeds, as well as what it calls the spiritual practice of taking a public position in support of justice. Well, that kind of begs the question, what are some of their socialist causes? Oh, excuse me, deeds, not creeds. Excuse me, secular philosophies. One of them is the fantastic group Black Lives Matter. Yet another one, the American Civil Liberties Union, and Forward Together. Movements they're concerned with, aside from Black Lives Matter, would be the Green New Deal. And they've also given money to this outfit called the Praxis Project. Now, these folks are a really interesting group. The Praxis Project is a left-of-center organization that provides seed money, strategic support, and fiscal sponsorship to community-based advocacy groups like Shelter Jackson Hole, especially those focused on healthcare policy and racial minority communities. And wait for this last part. This is the best one of them all. It has been funded by several large left-of-center donors, including the Tides Foundation. For those of you not in the know, the Tides Foundation is largely funded by the Open Society Institute, or spooky dude himself, George Soros. Now, if that sounds like a bit of a stretch, it's really not. Most organizations can be tied together by about 7 degrees of separation. But in this case, it's only two. Shelter Jackson Hole is taking money, or at least part of its money, from a group that is directly funded by the Tides Foundation. And I'll ask the question again. Why is the Teton County Republican Party associating itself with Shelter Jackson Hole? One possible answer to this, and really, I'm only speculating here, but maybe they want to push a liberal point of view and they're using the Republican Party to do it. But there again, I'm just guessing. Well, that'll about do it for today's installment of the program. Now, if you want to see and listen to everything that I mentioned in this episode, I'll have it posted to Cowboy State Politics later this afternoon. I've got a lot of stuff to upload, so it's going to take me some time. But have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Saturday during this week's installment of Weekend Update. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.